Hello and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network Premier League Podcast Euro Special. There's not really much for us to talk about today, I don't think. Is there, Ben?
Nah, just another quiet weekend, really.
Yeah, there's nothing to really talk about. Nothing's happening this weekend, is it?
Wimbledon final. Wimbledon
final. Is that on Sunday?
That's on Sunday, yes. That is the final on Sunday.
Right. Well, that surely they wouldn't schedule a European football final for the same day as the Wimbledon final, would they?
No. I see, at 8 o'clock, I've got to go to the airport because something's coming home.
Is it? Oh, right. Okay. What's coming home, Ben?
Football's coming home. Get it there.
Oh, dear. Of course, everyone listening, we jest. Unless you've been living under a rock, you will know that England have finally qualified for a major tournament final for the first time since 1966. 55 friggin' years it's taken England to get back to a final. How does that feel?
It honestly, growing up, you always hear about 66 and stuff like that, and you hear the golden generations of Sven's time and how good that England team was on paper, and thinking this team has to win something. It's too good. And then we thought we lost that golden generation. Nothing came of it. And then we had a real dip under the Capello years where, let's be honest, apart from Rooney, there wasn't really much talent in that team. And then, now we after the 2014 World Cup, where we got demolished by Germany, and then Germany went on to win it. No.
We didn't play Germany in 2014.
No,
we played Germany in 2010.
Yes.
Germany didn't win it in 2010.
No, it was the 2014 World Cup when Germany won it. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yes.
And that is where England, the FA, ripped up the rule book of how we're producing players, looking at how we develop young players. And the best thing about this team is they've won at every youth level. This team has won.
Certain players of this age group, yes.
And that, I think, is, you've seen the long work that the FA have put in now coming up. And I'm happy to go out on record and say this. So I don't think this will be, some of these players, this won't be the only major, you know, the final they play in for their country.
No, I agree. For me, my earliest England tournament memory was 86. So I'm just going to reel off every tournament since 86 so that people can understand what it's been like following England. So 1986 was Maradona, hand of God. 1988, the European Championships, England lost all three group games in Germany and went out. Italia 90, everybody knows what happened in Italia 90. 92, we went out losing to Sweden in the final group game. We scored one goal in three games. That was Graham Taylor. 94, didn't qualify for the World Cup. That was Graham Taylor. Euro 96, everybody knows what happened in Euro 96. Germany and penalties. The World Cup in 98 was Argentina and penalties. Euro 2000 was Phil Neville giving away a penalty against Romania in the last minute group stages. England got knocked out in the group stages. 2002 World Cup was Ronaldinho's fluke free kick for Brazil in the quarterfinals. Where are we? 2004 was the tournament that we should have won with our golden generation, but Wayne Rooney got injured in the quarterfinal against Portugal. We lost on penalties. 2006 World Cup, we lost to Portugal on penalties in the quarterfinals again.
Rooney got sent off.
That's 2006. To 2008, we didn't qualify for the Euros. 2010, we got beaten by Germany, and England scored a goal in that game that would have made it 2-2. That was so far over the line, it nearly hit the net, and it wasn't given. 2012, we got beaten by Italy on penalties in the second round. 2014, we didn't get out of the group, didn't win a game. 2016, we lost to friggin' Iceland.
In the round of 16, wasn't
it? In the round of 16. And then obviously 2018, we lost in the semi-finals to Croatia after extra time. So this has been coming for England, you know. I used to go follow England all over Europe between 2004 and 2008. I don't do it anymore. I'm married and a kid, so can't really afford it anymore. But, you know, I suffered through some hard times spending lots and lots of money to go and watch England get beaten 4-1 in Copenhagen, 2-0 in Zagreb, a 1-0 victory in Macedonia that was the worst game of football I've ever seen. That meant so much on Wednesday night. When that final whistle went, it was emotional, and I don't mind admitting it.
Oh, yeah, massively. Massively. And the one thing I really love about it is that this what a shit year it's been. Everyone's had a shit year around the world of COVID and stuff like that. But one thing it's done is it's just reinstalled a bit of national pride. And that's what I love about it. Everyone's getting behind the team, the country. The country is all with it. You turn on any news channel, all they're talking about with every first guest is the Euros.
Yeah.
Like, football fever is huge at the moment. My local curry house put a thing out saying we're doing a buffet on Sunday. If England gets to the final, it's all free. The one I took you to.
Yeah.
So they're doing a free buffet on Sunday. You're only getting out. No, I'm not actually. you're only getting an hour slot in there. But what a great you know, everyone getting in the party atmosphere.
Absolutely.
The drinks will be flowing from, I reckon, from about like midday on because it's an 8 o'clock kickoff, so I can't go too early. But no, what a game. England finally had to answer some questions in this game, and answer it they did.
Yeah, so let's talk about the game then. So the only change from the quarterfinal lineup was Saka coming back in for Sancho. Saka was injured in the quarterfinal or had an injury.
He was at my wedding.
Was it? You invited him to your wedding? Right, okay.
I did.
And, you know, we went 1-0 down. Now, I've heard and seen a lot of people saying that was Pickford's fault and he should have saved it.
I think he could have done better.
That's a brilliant free kick. Give the lad
a great strike.
Give the lad some credit. You know, Pickford has gone to the side where the wall isn't, because that's what goalkeepers do. The ball has gone over the top of the wall and into the net. That would have made a wonder save if he'd have got to it. To me, that's a great free kick.
Damsgaard has been one of my players at the tournament to watch, one of the breakout players. He wasn't going to probably play much for Denmark because of the position he plays and the whole Christian Eriksen situation is the reason why he's now obviously got into the team. But what a player he's been. I think Sampdoria bought him for 6-7 million euros last summer, and they're talking about 40-50 million euros for him already in once off the back of this tournament. What's just ridiculous. And yeah, a great strike. I think even Pickford would think he should do better there. It did, but that's just me. I think if he got a hand to it, you're hoping that he tips that over. But he's got quite short arms that we know of.
Well, look, to me, no blame goes on Pickford at all. It's a brilliant free kick.
He's been a rock all competition for us.
It's a brilliant free kick. So that's, you know, it was a brilliant free kick. There's nothing else to really say on it. The important thing for England was they hit back straight away. They had a chance just before the goal. It was almost an identical move. Ball in the channel, ball across the box. Everybody says what a great save by Kasper Schmeichel. Sterling hit it straight at him.
Yeah.
He had the whole goal to aim at, but he hit it straight at him. But he did his job. Schmeichel did his job.
Yeah, make yourself big. As we get taught as a goalkeeper, make yourself big and put the opponent off. Yeah. And that's exactly what he did.
Literally 40 seconds later, Kane picks up the ball, plays in Saka, brilliant pass. Saka across the front of goal. Sterling's got a tap in, but Simon Kjær got in the way.
Yeah.
Own goal. You take
great
it.
Bit of play from, great bit of play from Kane and Saka.
Yeah. No, really, really, really good. And then I think the second half, I don't really recall Denmark troubling England that much.
No, not really.
From that point on, England had chances. Harry Maguire had his header that Schmeichel saved.
Yeah. There were chances.
Yeah, there were chances. Nothing really clear cut, I don't think. A few shots in distance. But, you know, as England...
They were really hoping for set pieces around the edge of the area where they could either get Damsgaard firing again or get a ball into the box of Vestergaard in there.
They took off Dolberg and Damsgaard in the 65th minute. And they were their two most dangerous players.
Yeah, you've got to remember, I think Denmark were literally playing on empties. They played, two lots of 120 minutes already,
no,
haven't they, Denmark?
They didn't play. The Czech Republic game didn't go to extra time.
Oh, no, just one lot of it. They've played one lot of 120 minutes already, haven't they, Denmark?
Yeah.
And they've been played two of their knockout games in Baku. Like...
Yeah,
that is. Yeah, they have travelled a lot, and you hear a lot about this whole home advantage for England thing.
We'll talk about that at the end, mate. It's getting on my tits. That is, to be honest with you. But anyway, we'll come to that at the end. But yeah, second half, England didn't really look in that much trouble. There weren't any clear cut chances, and you know, as nervous as I was, I felt like there was only one winner.
Disastrous happened.
Yeah.
And
as we got into extra time, you know, Denmark made all their changes.
Before, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, they made all their changes. And what was it, I think, 12 minutes into the first half of extra time, Sterling is brought down by, well, could have been either of them who brought him down. It's a penalty for me. And people might say, oh, you're an England fan, of course it's a penalty. But he's touched twice. Once by the defender who clipped his back knee, and then he was body checked by the other Danish player. It's a penalty for me.
If it was done against England, I would be extremely angry and pissed off it was given as a penalty.
But it wasn't. It was given for England, so you were ecstatic.
Exactly. So I don't give a shit, yes.
But it's not the answer I was hoping for, Ben. I'm going to be honest with you.
No, I'm putting you know, my neutral head on here just for a second.
Fuck your neutral head.
just for a second. I think it was extremely soft. There was contact. But the rules on VAR, it's got to be a clear and obvious error. And there was no clear and obvious error made. So then you have to go with the on-field decision. Yeah. Penalty.
So then, on your other thing, the tackle on Harry Kane in the second half. The one that should have been a penalty but wasn't. Why was that not overturned?
Could have gone either way. Once again, no clear, obvious error. Go with the on-field decision.
I think the free kick was given for his tackle before the tackle, if that makes sense. Because if it was based solely on the tackle in the penalty error, that is a nailed-on penalty.
Yes, but there's no clear and obvious error. So,
anyway, England have a penalty.
Oh, God.
He is a good penalty taker. Harry Kane is a great penalty taker.
Yeah, of course he is. But then the minute I start supporting him, he's going to fucking miss it, isn't he?
Yeah. So, Harry Kane steps up. Kasper Schmeichel goes the right way, saves it. But the ball ends up right back at Harry Kane's feet, who taps it into an empty net, essentially. Yeah. And England have the lead. Second half of extra time, and I don't even remember, I mean, I was drunk, but I don't remember the commentator mentioning this. Denmark played the second half of extra time with 10 men because they had an injury and no subs to make.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
And yeah, well, I remember the commentator saying it.
I don't recall the commentator mentioning that.
Yeah, I do remember the commentator saying that, but the one thing, it's just how professional the job they did with just held the ball. It looked like Spain from 2010, the way they just passed the ball around and killed that game off.
There is a video doing the rounds on Twitter where England had to defend a corner at 26 minutes and 13 seconds. They defended the corner and then passed the ball around 58 passes, and Denmark didn't get the ball back until 29 minutes and 30 seconds. So England managed the game out like
playing
that.
Playing tic-a-tacker.
Football, I've never seen. And look, Denmark were knackered. They were down to 10 men. It was easy for England to do. But England, you know, we said earlier on in the tournament, Thomas Muller doesn't miss those chances when England are playing Germany. England don't do what they did.
We don't get penalties.
No, but they don't play the ball around and see a game out easily like they did. And then obviously the final whistle went and the country went into bedlam. I mean, you were in the Cotswolds, weren't you, Ben? I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But around me, people were letting off fireworks. There was shouting, singing out in back gardens. People were out in the street, out the front of the house, dancing around. It was an amazing release of pent-up frustration of football fans who've watched this for 55 years or more, but also the COVID situation. It was just people letting it go. And it was,
yeah,
it was an amazing feeling. It was an amazing feeling. You know, I'm not going to tempt fate, but Sunday, oh my God. I've got Monday booked off work already.
It has to be a national bank holiday. Yeah,
they won't make Monday a bank holiday. They haven't got enough time to do it. They're going to do is I think they're going to give us the Friday of the August bank holiday weekend as a bank holiday as well, and they make that a long weekend.
I reckon they'll do it after the restrictions are lifted on the Friday, when there'll be some sort of parade through London if we win it. That is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, look, I'm trying not to tempt fate here.
No.
England are in the final. Now, Ben, I have a serious question to ask you now.
Oh, God.
At the start of the tournament, you claimed that Southgate wasn't a good manager and that failure to get to the final would mean he would lose his job.
Yeah, I'd say
should,
that.
Or should lose his job. Okay. Yeah. England have made the final. Are you now prepared to concede that he knows what he's doing and he's doing it well?
Yes.
Good. No more needs to be said on that subject.
I think everyone gets, and I'm guilty for this, obviously, carried away with the amount of great players we have and how gung-ho we could be. But maybe sometimes when you're playing a major competition and you've got so many games and so many days, that it's actually quite good to be quite pragmatic and conservative a little bit.
England have conceded one goal.
Exactly. And then take you.
And it was a free kick.
Chances.
And it was a free kick.
Exactly. And you're not going to have many chances, but when you do, you've got the top players at that end of the pitch to convert those chances.
Yeah. And you've got the top players in form now. Sterling is in form. Yeah. Kane's in form. Saka's playing well.
There's only one change I'll make for the final.
You're going to take Mason Mount out of the team, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Who are you playing in his place?
I am probably going to play Phil Foden. Or Jack.
I think Grealish is going to be an impact player off the bench. I really do.
That's the only thing. You got Grealish off the bench.
I think Mount will start. I do. I don't think he should, but I think he will.
Same.
So
for me, I think Kane comes too far deep because Mount is drifting out wide.
Well, Kane coming deep is going to be what wins us the game on Sunday.
Potentially, because he's up against some absolute rocks in Bonucci.
Yeah.
And,
so you drag them out of position and you play in Sterling and Saka with the pace behind. Look, Bonucci and Chiellini are great defenders. They have zero pace.
The best thing is, as well, is that they've lost their left back, who's been absolute since their left wing back.
Yeah.
And the person they're playing there now,
Emerson,
is Emerson. And both times Arsenal played Chelsea this year, Saka has absolutely ripped Emerson a new arsehole.
Good. We need to do that
on Sunday. Absolutely ripped him a new arsehole. Gets him on bookings. And he honestly has. I just hope Southgate sees that and goes, do you know what? Just let the boy go at him because he will murder him.
Now, I need to give you a bit of credit, actually, because at the start of the tournament, you said that Saka would be in the team. And I said he probably wouldn't due to lack of experience. So I doff my cap to you, sir, for you getting that prediction.
I think the whole nation now is slowly seeing what us Arsenal fans have seen the last year of Bukayo Saka and just how much of a down-to-earth kid he is. And the fact that when he's on the pitch, he is so talented, but yet he is so fearless. He doesn't care. It's like he's playing with his mates.
Yeah.
And the best thing, and the whole best thing is he's so down-to-earth about it as well. What's just even better. And absolutely adore him. Love him to bits.
And knowing Arsenal players' history, he's going to be playing for Manchester City in 2 years' time.
Most likely. But we'll get a 200 million for him. We'll get 200 million for him. So.
You will. So, yes. England are in the final where, spoiler alert, they're playing Italy, in case you couldn't tell. I'm not going to go over the Italy-Spain semi-final too much because
I didn't watch it.
we haven't really got the time, and Ben was on honeymoon, so didn't watch it. Look, Spain. If Spain had a striker who could put the ball in the back of the net, Spain would have won that game. Now, that's where England do have the advantage. Yeah. They've got a striker who can put the ball in the back of the net. But Spain dominated possession. I think it was 72% possession, I think Spain had.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I'd rather be playing Italy than Spain.
I wouldn't have minded either way. I've said since the start of the tournament, England are going to get to the final and England don't lose many games at Wembley. I fancy England to beat anybody at Wembley. And I still stick by that now. But, you know, the game went to extra time and penalties. Now, Italy, obviously, in the second round game against Austria, that went to extra time.
Yeah.
In their quarterfinal against Belgium, it didn't go to extra time, but it was a tough game against Belgium.
Yeah.
And then semi-final went to extra time and penalties. Now, they have had an extra day's rest over England, which, you know, is an advantage. But I think Italy started off the tournament on fire and in the best form.
And they slowly regressed.
Whereas England started off slowly, but are peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
Italy won on penalties. Alvaro Morata missed a penalty. Spain do not have a good record with penalties.
No, they don't.
But England-Italy final. I'm not going to get too in-depth.
What's a juggernaut? That's like a 1960s, 1970s old-fashioned final. England-Italy.
It is.
Yeah, it's great.
It is. And it's just nice to hear the word England in it.
Yeah, at Wembley.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go too much into the tactics for this. Gut feeling, if I was to just ask you now and you say the first thing that comes into your head, what's the score?
2-1 England.
2-1 England. I think 2-0 England. I've been confident from day one that England are going to do well in this tournament, and I'm not changing my opinion. For people listening who aren't from England, if there is anybody listening who isn't from England, I can't even begin to put into words what this country is going to be like on Sunday night when England...
I think it'll be very much reminiscent of when the Saints won the Super Bowl. That's the nearest thing I can say. What New Orleans was like after the Saints won the Super Bowl, that's the only thing. I think this whole country is going to go absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, the whole country will go nuts. And
you've got people who aren't even football fans tuning into this now.
Was it ITV had 28 million people watching the game on? Or 28 million individual TVs watching the game on, which is the highest rated game ever. Now, obviously, that'll change on Sunday. Now, question for you. Is the ITV curse over? Is the semi-final ITV? And are you going to watch the game on the BBC?
I'll probably watch the game on the BBC.
Yeah, I will be watching the game on the BBC as well. Because of adverts, but, more than anything else.
Yeah, more than that, yeah.
So the game will be televised on both terrestrial TV channels. It always is. They battle over which teams get which fixture as they go through. England do have a better record on the BBC. That's a well-known fact. I'm going to watch it on the BBC. My next question then, Ben, is who's going to score?
So we'll go one up through Harry Kane. We'll go one up through Harry Kane, and then Italy will get one back, and then it'll be just after half time. Saka will get one in.
Right. England are going to have to like wait 40 minutes with a one goal lead.
Yes, it's going to be painful.
Oh, God. I also think Kane will score first, and I think Sterling will get the second. He will be player of the tournament, I think. He was sensational against Denmark.
Yeah,
it was a great run for the penalty, and then it was a great run right at the end of extra time where he took the man on and went through, and Schmeichel made a save. You just look at it. Like I said, England have conceded one goal in the tournament, and that was a free kick. So they haven't conceded a goal from open play. This is unheard of, mate. It's unheard of. And I can't frigging wait for 8 o'clock on Sunday. I can't. I've got nothing else to say.
I think we should just leave it at that, mate. To be fair, we can't really go too much. It just, I can't talk about it too much. I just get nervous.
No, exactly. And it's been dragging enough since Wednesday anyway. So
how did Scotland and Wales get on in their semi-final?
Well, Scotland drew their final 0-0 earlier on in later in June, didn't they?
Okay, they've already had their final.
They've already had their 0-0 win in their final. And Wales, I think, had their final, what, 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah, when they lost the semis.
When they lost the semi-final to Portugal. Now, one thing I need to close on, just briefly, when we talk about it. This issue that people seem to be having with the fact that England played 6 of their 7 games at home.
Don't care.
If the tournament was held in England completely, England would have played every game at home.
They were talking about.
Italy and Italia 90, because Chiellini has been chopped it off today. Italy and Italia 90. Italy played every single game in Italy, lost in the semi-finals. Germany in 2006 played every game in Germany, lost in the semi-finals. France played all Euro 2016 games in France, lost in the
finals. Lost in the finals. Oh, God, don't say this.
So this whole... No, I'm not going... this whole home advantage, every frigging tournament, a team gets home advantage.
Yeah, and England played every single game at home in 1966.
They did.
And won it.
And won it.
And that's what's going to happen. We haven't played every game at home. Obviously, we had to go to Rome.
Yeah, I mean, had COVID not happened, the Germany game in the second round was actually scheduled to be played in Dublin.
Yeah.
So you can blame COVID if you want. I don't care. England are in the final in my lifetime, and I'm going to watch England play in the European Championship final on Sunday, and I can't flipping wait.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be so good, man.
It is. It is. Right. Anything else to add before I wrap this up?
It's coming home.
It's coming home. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol United podcast network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction, the main Don't Patrol podcast, the BS and Beer podcast, Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, which you're listening to now, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den with Scott. You can follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, which still hasn't tweeted for quite some time, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for the Dome Patrol podcast. And if you want to listen the old fashioned way, go Dome Patrol podcast.
Not coming home.
Not coming home. Oh, say goodbye, Ben.
It's coming home. Come with the boys.
Help the England. Express yourself. Create the space. You know you can win. Don't give up the chase. Beat the man. Take him on. You never give up. It's one.
got to hold.